Our watchword this week comes from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. Let us say it together. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your might. Amen. You may be seated.
Please rise and join with me in the call to worship. Brothers and sisters, how could we share the good news? Do we believe that God can still do miraculous things in our world?
May we trust in God's great deeds that Sarah, Hannah, Elizabeth, Lydia, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, all faithfully did.
Please join with me. Remain standing and join with me in the Church's One Foundation. Join me for the liturgy with of Epiphany. Whatever. All your creatures, Lord, will praise you. All your people will give you thanks. Everyone will know your mighty deeds and the glorious majesty of your kingdom.
You are ruling eternal and you are king forever.
You, Lord, are righteous in all you do, merciful in all your acts.
You are near to those who call to you, who call to you with sincerity.
You supply the needs of all who honor you. You hear their cries and save them. With sincere hearts and open minds, let us now acknowledge the sin that entangles us and prevents us from doing God's will. Compassionate Lord, you call us to a higher standard
than we have achieved.
Within our families, you have loved imperfectly. Amongst sisters and brothers in the church, we have not fully walked in the light. Often our congregations have not reflected the rich diversity of people in our communities. Our witness to the world, our lives have not adequately testified to your redeeming power. Forgive us, gracious Lord, and
forgive ourselves to be distracted from the goal of our discipleship.
Heal the brokenness of our hearts and restore us to you, our first love. Condemnation now for those who live in union with Jesus, with Christ Jesus. Hear the word of our Lord. I do not condemn you, but go, but do not sin again. Please rise. God created the heavens and stretched them out, fashioned the earth and all that lives there, and gave life and breath to all its people.
Now the Lord God said to his servant, I, the Lord, have called you and given you power to see that justice is done on earth. Through you I will make a covenant with all peoples.
Through you I will bring light to the nations. You will open the eyes of the blind.
And set free those who sit in dark prisons.
Thank you.
partiality to race or culture. All who have reverence for him and do what is right are acceptable to God. Let us praise God for his glorious grace, for the free gift that he gave us in his dear Son.
How great is the grace of God, which he gave to us in such large measure.
This is the good news. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, all people may participate in God's blessings. There is no longer rich or poor, black or white, male or female, for we all are one in union with Christ Jesus.
If we belong to Christ, then we are members of God's family and will receive what God has promised.
Can I please have the ushers come forward?
Thank you, Letitia. Let us turn our hearts and minds to a time of prayer. Let us look at our prayer concerns. First, let us remember Shanna Shanehauer, who's been in the ER with some pain and some medication that caused some seizures for her. So please be with Don and Becky as Shanna, as she continues to hopefully find the right course of treatment for her. Prayers for the Martin family, because Chloe has a permit now, so we'll pray for our roads as well. No, we're very happy for you and excited. It's a great moment in the life of anyone. For Steve and Jackie Pasquinelli, who are heading down to Myrtle Beach for a week to 10 days. For Amy as well, as you get to be here on the home front and take care of things. We ask for safety and blessings there. For Junior Yoder, who had a foot infection as well, we ask that you keep him in prayer. I ask that you keep our country in prayer as we get ready for Election Day on Tuesday. It can be a very divisive time in our country, but we pray that it be a peaceful day and that the voices of all people be heard, and that we remember, no matter where we stand on whatever spectrum, that God's love is going to be there with us. For our kids and our adults at our fall retreat, please keep them in prayer. They are driving back from Indiana, actually now, I believe, and making the trek back to Ohio. Hopefully they had a wonderful Spirit-led weekend. I'm sure Cynthia Geyer did a great job with programming and just had a good weekend for our kids. For our Western District Lay Leadership Conference, which is happening at Mount Morrison, Wisconsin, our own Carolyn Menapace, is there representing us, learning quite a bit about strengthening lay leadership and just getting opportunities to see what new ways of serving God are happening in our world. And safe travels for her as she makes the trek back from Wisconsin to Ohio. And one prayer concern I wanted to share with you is a prayer of joy that I bring you. I just found out a few weeks ago that I've received permission from Cleveland Clinic to receive my second cochlear implant surgery, which will happen on November 28th. So for a month, I'll have a month before they turn that on, so I won't get to hear as many Christmas tunes as I'd like, but I'm looking forward for it. Ask for continued prayer and thanksgiving. There's a lot of trips to Cleveland that'll be happening in late December and early January, so I'll get to feel right at home in Wisconsin, I guess. And but we give thanks for that and a celebration and blessing. And most importantly, today we give thanks for our Moravian women. What a historic tradition the Moravian Church has of not only empowering women, but making sure that we foster them in leadership. This goes back to the 1700s, when women, hundreds of years before their time, were put in charge of their choir, which was where people lived, and for all intent purposes, were the pastors in those communities to the people they shepherded. We think of people like Anna Nitschmann, who was such a spiritual figure for the early Moravians. We think of a woman named Rebecca, who was one of the biggest missionaries we had in the St. Thomas area. And if you want to know why there are over 1 million Moravians in the world, it starts with Rebecca and her ministry to St. Thomas. And to this day, we still have so much to be thankful for that comes from our women who provide so much to our church. It's a reminder that God's image truly lives within all of us. So let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the changing colors, for the leaves falling, and for the opportunity to experience the wonderful season of fall. And help us to remember on this weekend, when time falls backwards, and we gain another hour, to do something precious with it, to use it to uplift time with our family, to spend it with loved ones, to share your joy with those around us. Because when we think of our time and all the gifts that we have, may it ring through us as this bell rings for us and helps us. And remember that time is always changing, but you, God, are present and constant in our lives. And we think of our world and we think of our country as we get ready to vote on Tuesday. And help us all to exercise an important duty in our country. But most importantly, help us to remember that there are children of God on all spectrums, on all sides, and that it is not our job to fix someone or to change them, but to love them as God created them to be. For we are at our best when we are loving both Jew and Gentile, Democrat and Republican, and anybody that we can think of. Because with you, God, there is no other. There is only us. And we give you thanks for the women in our congregation. May you continue to equip and empower and remind them just how important they are to us. They are important mothers. They are important employers. They are important elders and leaders and joint board members. And help us all to remember that whenever we become judgmental or sexist or racist or we become sinful, help us to remember that our church, that our world is at its best when we are taking care of one another, when we are loving one another and equipping one another to be the best that we can be. So in a world that can oftentimes choose anger, violence, or discrimination, help us to be people that choose faith, hope, and love in all we say and all we do. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Our first scripture lesson is from 1 Kings 17, verses 7 to 16, and can be found on page 253 in your pew Bibles. Sometime later, the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, "Go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you with food." So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you have said. But first, make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry again until the day the Lord gives rain on the land." She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. Our second scripture is from Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Thank you, Becky. At this time, I invite the children to come forward for our children's moment. And come on up. Sit down right here. Help yourself. Come on up. Brandon coming. There we go. So good morning. How's everybody doing? Did you enjoy your extra hour of sleep this morning? Yeah. Did you notice it? Did it feel good? It feels good when you get extra sleep. So what we're going to talk about today is an important day that's coming up in our country. I think you guys heard me talk a little bit about it. Can anybody know what important day we have coming Tuesday? Tyler? Thanksgiving? That's a few more weeks yet. We still got a few more. The Christmas tunes are coming out too, so that's coming before. Paige? Election Day. Does anybody know what we do on Election Day? We vote. Voting is a very important thing to do. So what we're going to do to start our children's lesson today is we're going to vote on some important social issues of our time. So I'm going to ask you to vote with your feet, and you're going to run to one side of the room or the other. So the first very, very controversial issue that I have for you is, do you like hot dogs or do you like pizza? So you got to run to which side of the room you like. Pizza over here, hot dogs over here. No hot dogs. We got to get you guys some Wisconsin bratwurst, and we'll change your mind. All right, here's the other one. If you like soccer over here, if you like football over here. Okay, we got a little bit more of a split here. Soccer's a little more safe. Football can be a little more exciting sometimes. So here's one. For those of you that like swimming, would you like to rather spend a day at the lake playing out there or a day at the swimming pool? Would you rather be at the lake or the swimming pool? You would be at the swimming pool. I will be at the lake where there's nobody else in the lake and I'm not touching elbows to go off the diving board. I like the lake. All right, I'm not going to try to influence you at all on this one, but this is an important one to my heart. If you like Harry Potter over here, or if you like Despicable Me over there. Oh, heart is being broken right here. That's okay. You can love what you want to love. That's what this is all about. So here's a tougher decision. Those are good things. Here's a tough one. Would you rather clean your room or would you rather go to the dentist? Ooh, that's a tough one. Clean your room. That's pretty fair. I would probably be a clean your room type of person. All right, here's a good one. Would you rather have your ice cream on an ice cream cone or an ice cream sundae? Cone or sundae? Cone, interesting. That surprised me. All right, here's one that your parents are going to fight about on Tuesday. Do you like elephants or do you like donkeys? Elephants or donkeys? People like elephants. Elephants are pretty cool, aren't they? That is not a political statement by me at all, whatsoever. I physically like elephants. Elephants are cool. And donkeys have their own gifts, too, as well. That's important. Do you like red or blue? Red on this side, blue on this side. Okay. That's another one that adults are going to be fighting about, so let's bring it back in here. We'll talk about the exercise we just did. So when you voted on all these different topics and all these different issues, was there anybody you felt like you agreed with a lot of the time? You thought there's some people that you're pretty close to? And yeah, that happens sometimes. That's a good thing. So do you think it's easy to be friends with the people who agree with you on most issues? People who agree that I like pizza, I like to be out at the pool, I love Despicable Me. You think those people would be the easiest to align ourselves, right? And the challenge is that we as Christians, you know what Jesus calls us to do? He calls us to love and like the people that think differently than us. So if we like pizza and there are people that like hot dogs, we should love those people too. Because you know why? Because if you love people who only think, speak, and act like you do, you're never going to learn from anybody. But if you learn to appreciate people who think differently, who speak differently, maybe look a little differently, then you can learn. Then you can grow. You can become a bigger and better person because you'll have new ideas from that person. And that's something that adults struggle with to this day. That's one of the reasons Election Day for adults can be so divisive, is because we spend so much of our time trying to convince people of something they're pretty convinced on. Because let's say, Paige, were you a hot dog or pizza person? You are a pizza person. So if we spent the next half hour trying to convince you that hot dogs were better, do you think you would change your mind? No, because you're pretty set in your ways. Well, I have news for you. Adults do this with a thing called Facebook all the time, trying to convince people who like pizza to like hot dogs and hot dogs to like pizza. And so your job is not to care what they like, but to love them no matter what. So when you go into your world and you notice that there are people who are different than you, who think different than you, so what? Love them anyways. And that's the message God carries for us, to love us, everybody, with all our heart, with all our minds, and with all our soul. So let's have a moment of prayer. Let's get in a circle and all hold hands, and then you guys can get a treat. Oh, yeah, very good. Perfect. Let us pray together. Gracious God, we give you thanks for all these kids, for all the love and the grace and mercy they have, and help them to remember that no matter how different or they are, or how different the people they speak or encounter are in their life, that they are all children of God, that we are all Jews and Gentiles, and that we are all loved by God equally. And as children and as adults, help us to remember to carry that love with all the people we meet, for this is a world in desperate need of it, and please protect them as they go about their school lives and home lives, and help them to carry God's love with them in all times and all places. Amen. So grab a snack before you go. Thank y'all for coming on up. Y'all were smarties. Y'all did a good job voting. All right. At this time, you may remain seated as we join together to sing Blessed Assurance, which is a great hymn and reminder as we talk about Millie, who's going to come up and share her Lebenslauf, which is part of her song and her story. A very important part of being Moravian is realizing that every single one of us has a story to share about our journey with God. It may not always be the most exciting or the most amazing, but it is a reminder of the personal touch that God has on all our lives. Let us join together in song. to come on up, I want to just give her a little introduction and just thank you, first of all, for willing to do this, Millie, as you share your message today. And one of the things I really want to share about Millie is that we all know Millie. She's near and dear to our heart, but you don't realize behind the scene how much she does, especially with Shenron Village and opportunities like that. And as I speak, we have Deidre here who's representing Shenron Village. And so if you get an opportunity, I know many of you grew up growing to Shenron Village. But if you haven't had a chance, there's so many updates that are happening, grants that have come through, and you're really seeing this place come to life. And it has a lot to do with volunteers like Millie and Deidre and Alicia and people who really put the time and effort to bring our history as Moravians to life. Because there's not too many places in the nation where we settled the first place, and Ohio is that place. People know what Moravians are here, and that is a gift. So it really is a treasure to have you, Millie, and share your story. So I will shut up now, and you're in charge.
I was going to welcome Deidre and her two helpers, Hank and Clara. My husband was a sales manager at the Goshen Dairy, but every now and then he got stuck driving one of their semis, so he had to keep up his CDL. So he goes to the doctor and he gets his physical and he brings the paper home and he shows it to me. Up in the right hand corner it said, "Very healthy specimen," with an exclamation point. I said, "Honey, that is wonderful." In the very next breath, he says, "You know, for about a week now, I've had a pain right here. Didn't you tell the doctor?" "No." So I made another appointment for him. He goes back to the doctor. This time he comes home, says he needs an ultrasound of the gallbladder. So we had that done. Once we got the results, they said he needed surgery. Now, Union Hospital's lobby was nothing back then like it is today. It was a large room with a couple couches back to back. Over to the left was a little waiting room, but it was full. So Howdy's sister Martha and I, we sat down on one of those couches and we waited while Howdy was in surgery. I don't think 10 minutes went by, and I looked up and there's a surgeon walking toward me. In the middle of that crowded lobby, with people going every which way, he walks up to me and says, "Millie," we opened Howdy up. His liver fell apart in my hands, and we closed him. Well, speaking of falling apart, that's exactly what I did. Former neighbor mine, who was a little bit of a busybody, comes up to me and says, "Oh, Millie, what's the matter?" I couldn't even answer her. I just shook my head. And finally, she moved on. Now, I stayed with Howdy in the hospital that night. The surgeon had told him about his findings. And we dozed a little, and we cried a little, and we prayed a lot. And the next day, I took him home. Now, big decision time. I have a husband who needs me, and I have a job to go to. If I do what I want to do, quit my job, stay home, take care of him, how will we put food on the table? So we talked about it a little bit, and my husband said, "Really? I think you should go to work. I'll be all right." I had a wonderful boss, one that permitted me to leave work every day at noon, go home, check on my husband, stay as long as I thought I needed to before returning to work. He had no appetite whatsoever, but he still enjoyed a banana milkshake from the Goshen Dairy. So each day I'd stop, get him a milkshake, and that was his lunch. Now, he wasn't one to readily give up. He wanted to do something. Whatever he wanted to do, I wanted to do. So I get on the phone and I call the surgeon. I say, "Howdy wants to do something. What do you think we should do?" He said, I think you should take him over to the University of Pittsburgh Hospital. They have a group of physicians over there that specialize in cancer of the liver. I said, fine, will you make us an appointment? And he said, yes. We waited a week, heard nothing. So I get back on the phone, and I call the office. This time I get the nurse, and I say, hey, what about how to go to Pittsburgh? She said, oh, I'll get right on that. And she did. Now, my number two son was the band director at Mansfield Madison. He took off work, and he drove us over. Actually, he drove us over in Don and Becky's new car. But anyway, we were with the physician for a little while. And he said, yes, I think Hallie would be a very good candidate for our intensive IV chemotherapy program. But before you can do that, he has to have this heart test. And he named it. And even though I'm a nurse, I never even heard of it. I wasn't sure Union Hospital could even do it. But they could, they did, and of course, he passed with flying colors. There wasn't anything wrong with his heart or his lungs. They had given me a number to call. So I called over there, and I got this lady on the phone, and I told her, Howdy's had his heart test. He's ready to come over and start his chemotherapy. And she said, oh, that's good, but before you can do that, you have to put $2,500 down out of your own pocket. Well, at this stage of the game, we still had very good hospitalization insurance. So I said to myself, I did not say one word to anybody. Is this a case of attempting to cure my husband, or are we just doing research here? Well, my son took off work again, drove us over, dropped us off. I paid the $2,500, and our week of chemotherapy started. My daughter was living in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. She flew up to Pittsburgh. She and I stayed in a motel at night, and during the day, we stayed with Howdy. At the end of the week, Craig came back and got us. Marcy flew back to Atlanta. And when I got home, I made an appointment with the local oncologist. Our whole life revolved around the Goshen Dairy. And I'd be remiss if I didn't tell at least one milkman story. And I was reminded of this story because when the Swiss Festival was going on, we had at Schönbrunn 3 days of those people touring. But anyway, before he became the sales manager, he had a milk route. And he delivered milk door to door. And that route covered Sugar Creek, Walnut Creek, Merlin, and Millersburg. Every year at Swiss Festival time, this huge caravan of beautiful silver motorhomes came to town. And they parked at Winkleplick Grove. My husband would drive his milk truck up there. And they'd all come out and get whatever dairy products they thought they needed. Well, this one day, this lady comes out. And she goes up to my husband and she says, you know, you don't have to be doing that. And my husband said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you can quit that and you can come with me and we will travel all over the country and we will have a wonderful time. My husband said, oh, I can't do that. I have to stay here and make a living. She said, I have enough money for both of us. Anyway, my husband was a churchgoer in the family, and I have to be honest and say, with 4 kids and a full-time job, I could have stayed home on Sunday morning, but I didn't. So we're all rushing around there getting ready to go to church. Now there's 6 people living in a 3-bedroom ranch. So it can get a little hectic when we're all trying to get ready to go to churches or anywhere at the same time. My youngest son, who was about 8 or 9 at the time, says, "Mom, I can't go to church today. I can't find my good shoes." Well, now back in those days when you went to church, you wore dress pants, dress shirt, dress shoes. No sneakers, no flip-flops, no shorts, no jeans. Now, I don't have a problem with that. It's just that's not the way it was back then. So I said, "Everybody, stop what you're doing and help me look for Scott's shoes." And we looked under his bed, in his closet, in the bathroom closet, under the couch, out the back door. No shoes. And then I thought, this is ridiculous. Everybody go back to doing whatever you were doing. They're Scott's shoes. They're his responsibility. And if he can't find them and go to church with us, he doesn't go out to play the rest of the day. He marched right down to the basement, got his shoes, put them on, and we all went to church. Have you parents out there ever thought about the lessons you learned along the way as you're attempting to teach your children what's important in life? What's really important? Well, it was the end of the school year. One of my boys, now I have 3 boys, was in the 3rd grade, and they were going on a field trip, and they were going to the Sayo Pottery. If you're unfamiliar with the Sayo Pottery, in its day, it was a booming business, and it made thousands and thousands of dishes. They were big, bulky, white, usually, the kind that churches bought. They were not your fine china. And anybody that really knows me knows I'm a dish freak. Anyway, he comes home from his field trip and he has this sugar bowl. Big, bulky, white, 2 handles, nice lid. And he sets it on the kitchen table. And I say, and he is proud as a peacock. And I say, "What a nice sugar bowl. Thank you very much." The next day, I wash it, and I put it up in the cupboard. Months go by. Months. It is now the next spring. And I say to myself, "Don't you think it's time you did a little cleaning around here? And why don't you start with that cupboard of dishes? The ones that hardly ever get used get washed once a year, whether they need it or not." So I started taking the dishes out of the cupboard, and among them was the sugar bowl. Just as I was ready to put it in the sink, I thought, there is something in here. And I looked a little closer, and there was a piece of yellow tablet paper, all folded up to an inch square. So I opened it up, and on it were 4 little words. "I don't like Mom." I threw that note in the wastebasket. I washed that sugar bowl. And when it was good and dry, I set it on the kitchen table full of sugar. And there it stayed for the next 12 years. Even after being accidentally knocked on the floor one day, and one of the handles broken off, it was rewashed, refilled, and put back on the table. Now he comes home from school, notices the sugar bowl, never said a word. I don't think he remembered writing that note. I never said a word. But I will tell you this. From that day forward, if any of my kids brought anything home that could be used, it was used. Now, Howdy's condition continued to deteriorate. His sister Martha took a week off from work just to spend time with him. At the end of that week, it was a Saturday. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning. Martha was in the kitchen Two friends of ours from church, Gil Bennett and Tim Northrup, were there, replacing the storm door at the back of the house. I was in the bedroom with Hallie, and he passed away. How was I ever going to make it through tomorrow, next week, next month, next year? Then one day, the dawning, you have a loving, supportive family. Not only do you have your immediate family, you have two other families, your church family and your New Dawn family. There are people out there who don't have one other single soul. You have a lot to be thankful for. You have a roof over your head that's paid for. Your children are educated. How many young widows out there not only have to worry about how they're going to house their children, but how they're going to educate them? You have a lot to be thankful for. You have a job to go to tomorrow. How many 58-year-old widows can go out, get a job, and support themselves in a manner they're accustomed? You have a lot to be thankful for. Not a day goes by that I don't miss him. For you see, the day he died, I not only lost my husband, I lost my very best friend. They were one and the same person. Thank you.
What a great message of joy and love, and just a reminder of all the wonderful things God is doing through our lives. Even in difficult times like those, Millie, you testified to the power of God's love. And when we think about our own journeys, you bring to word when you asked me to come up with a prayer to summarize your thoughts. I thought about Romans 5, which reminds us that suffering produces endurance, endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I hear a lot of hope throughout your message as you shared not only the love of Howie, who unfortunately I did not get the chance to meet, but of your entire family and how God surrounded each and every one of us. So let's take a moment in silence and give a prayer of thanksgiving for Millie and her message. Good and gracious God, today we thank you for Millie's message today, for the joy, the faith, the hope, and the love that she inspired within each one of us. And help us to remember that in those difficult times, in those painful times, in those times when we are scared, when we are hurt, when we are grieving, help us to remember those words that we are never alone, that we are never abandoned, that when we feel pain, you, God, are the first to cry with us, the first to hold us, the first to remind us that we were created for something bigger than ourselves. And whenever we get lost on this path, help us to seek the love, to find the love, and to share the love. In your gracious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in singing one of our favorite Moravian hymns.
hymn is a fitting go into the world reminder as we celebrate Moravian Women's Sunday. As we learned in our hymn class, if you look at the text writer, Henrietta Louise von Hain was a Moravian woman who wrote the famous song, "I Am Jesus' Little Lamb." And this song is an evolution of this. And you think of the impact that some of Moravian women have made on music and how it is still felt today. This song is one of the pinnacles of those. Let me share with you the words of Christine Longhurst for our benediction. Go into your week knowing that you are embraced by the love of God, a love that is sweeter and more tender than any love you have ever known. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.